Everyone, welcome back to the It's a Mind Game podcast. My name is Jade, and today I'm so excited to have a friend and a client and a podcast listener join us to share her HA recovery. She describes herself as a 29-year-old recovering perfectionist from Chicago area, hoping to become a mum in 2023. But to me, she described herself as the binge podcast listener who needed to recover a period because she wanted to have a family. And that's essentially how we were introduced. But for now, let's start off with the basics. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, Jade. Thank you so much for having me. This is very surreal because, like you said, I am a big fan of your podcast and I have been listening to it for over a year now. So this is like a full circle moment.
Yeah. And you know what? You're still one of the initial full circle moments. And I think that's why I'm always excited about a period recovery, but you have been listening to the podcast for quite some time. So I feel like we've kind of had that growth together, which feels really special as well. But as for all the details, I'm sure everyone's waiting to hear. Do you want to paint a bit of a picture for us as to what caused your HA, what your daily life looked like? Were you enjoying your life? Was it feeling stressful? And then we'll dive into sort of all the rest.
Yeah, sure. So I first noticed that my period was missing in 2018. And in kind of leading up to that time, I was starting to count calories for the first time in my life. I had never really dieted up to that point, which I'm very grateful for. But I've always been like an active person. I grew up with like two brothers and a dog, playing like sports and being in theater and things like that. So I've always been active, but I had never like restricted my food or been any diets up until around 2017, 2018. So I think that my interest in learning how to do that is really kind of where I started to get myself into trouble because I've always exercised and been active, and that's always been part of my life. But when I realized how I could manipulate my nutrition to change the shape of my body, I think that's when things started to become more of a negative impact in my life. So I think that a lot of the habits that I picked up were kind of packaged to me as like wellness or fitness. So I was very interested in becoming healthy, but I didn't realize that in the pursuit of that, I was kind of losing myself and obviously becoming less healthy by losing my cycle. So the actual start of this was when I had only been married for about a year and my husband downloaded MyFitnessPal for the first time, and he wanted to start tracking his calories to lose some weight. And so I was kind of like, oh, let me go along with him and try this as well. And that was when I did lose some weight initially, but I think where I went wrong from the get-go is that I wasn't accounting for like my activity level and the fact that I was just an active person. So I was eating, you know, a pretty low number, whatever my fitness pal kind of spit out for me. And from there, it just became like progressively more of an obsession because I did see results and I did lose weight, but I didn't really have a lot of weight to lose. But as I think anyone who's listening to this can probably relate, that it's really like intoxicating when you can control your nutrition and start to see like some of those changes to your body. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. And I didn't have a period for like 4 years. But I knew it was a problem pretty quickly. I just didn't act on it. And that's like one of my biggest regrets. But I did find your podcast and I was listening to a lot of your podcast episodes. And that was eventually what kind of pushed me to pursue like a solution. So yeah, that's kind of like the background of my story.
Yeah, I love two key things that you brought up there, which is the idea that so many of us, you know, we lose our period and we're just like, yeah, It's no big deal. And I think part of that is we actually don't realize how valuable it is to our system. And I think that's something that's really wonderful about the open conversations that are happening now is women are starting to realize like, oh, my period is so much more than being able to fall pregnant or not. Like it affects other systems. It affects my overall health and well-being and my cognitive state. And hopefully as a result of that, future generations are going to have more education around it. And a missing period is going to mean so much more to them what it did for us. Because I really do believe a big part is just lack of knowledge. We had no idea. And we were so enjoying the journey that we were on that it was like, why would we question it? And you also brought up that chasing health. And it's such a bizarre ideal because you think about chasing health and for so many of us, it's an image. It's not actual like blood work or body functioning or mental health or physical health or relationships. It's just if you're healthy, you look like the fitness model or you look really strong or you've got muscles or, and that will vary from person to person. When you were sort of in MyFitnessPal, you were already really active. Did you use that term health in order to sort of narrow down what you were trying to achieve? Like you're on a health goal, a fitness goal, and it was very physique focused rather than a holistic approach?
Yeah, definitely. I love what you said about like health being kind of portrayed as an image. I kind of got sucked into this online fitness culture, which I want to be clear, like not all of that is bad. A lot of it is like really healthy and good, but I think I fell into like a particular space that was, there was kind of this rhetoric around like, don't you want to look like you lift weights? Like you know, you're not like, I don't know, you're not lean enough, I guess, to like show that you like put in time in the gym or something. And I think that, that really stuck with me. And I, like I said, I was always someone who worked out. So I was like, yeah, I want to look like I have like muscle and I want to look fit. And to your point, it's all about the image and like looking the part more than actually just being the embodiment of health. So that was like a really challenging thing to get past because it felt like the physique that I was, you know, just walking around in my everyday life with, I felt like that was just the proof that I needed to like show the world that I was like, I was an athlete or I was not even an athlete because I wasn't, I was just casually like training at the gym. So I don't know why I took that so seriously, but it's exactly that. It's just an image. It's like a facade. It's not really health under the hood.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like what you identified there with the, like, I want to show that I'm the person who trains. Because as you said, it actually clicked in my head. That was a big part of my desire to stay the way, looking the way that I did, despite how I felt, my eating disorder behaviors, all of it was because I liked showing up as that identity. Though it didn't fall in line with what I actually valued as health. And I think that's a big part of that HA recovery process is identifying I've been led to believe that health is looking a particular way, but I'm learning that health actually is having all my systems functioning, having good mental health, having good relationships, having the ability to be free and make spontaneous decisions and actually live.
Yeah, and that's such a hard pill to swallow when you're constantly told, you know, whether explicitly or implicitly through like messaging and social media that looking a certain way is indicative of, you know, how healthy you are or how fit you are. And that's like something that I still struggle with, even though my body has done the work and I've recovered and I'm really grateful for that. I'm really looking forward to continuing to just refine my mindset. Because I think like, I'm in this like tender phase where everything is still really raw to me. And I feel like even though I have my first recovery period, I'm like, it's kind of like a scab that like, if I rub it too much or like pick at it, it's going to break open and I'm just going to have to like work on the healing again. So I want to be like super conscious of any fitness messaging that I consume that it's like, I'm super careful and I like set good boundaries because I'm like really sensitive.
Yeah. But that's the perfect approach to take, because, you know, you, as you said, you love exercise. And once you've had the three bleeds, it's like the reintroduction of exercise phase is one step at a time. So you don't kind of like scare it off, because that's how we sort of feel. But there's so much healing in knowing that you need to take it slow, because it's like, well, I had one session at a time at this kind of intensity, and then I'll add in another one. Maybe I'll add on some duration. Maybe I'll take away some duration. And you can actually be really playful with it. But hand in hand with that, you'll build up your confidence that your body can cope. Because as I'm sure you're experiencing right now, now you've got the bleed, you're celebrating it. You're kind of, I'm guessing you're going to be excited to jump back into exercise, but it's bittersweet because it's like, oh my God, I can't wait to go back. But oh my God, I don't want to ruin anything. Like I'm so fragile. Yeah. I don't want to go through this again. Like I've done it once, but I just want to go back to the gym. and it feels just like literally bittersweet. But that really is the perfect approach to it, is just 1 week at a time, because each time you're like, oh, I'm good. And then you add something in new and your body gives you confirmation, you're good, until you find that sweet spot of, you know what, I'm so satisfied with the level of exercise I'm doing. My body's satisfied because it's doing all the things I want it to do. And then you've made peace. But it will take a couple of months to get there. But once you're there, it feels really nice.
Yeah, I'm like so excited to get there and to maybe even like potentially just dial it back to like the kind of excited that I used to be when I was like a kid and I would go like, I mean, I'm not really good at any particular sport, but like playing soccer in the field, and you just, as a kid, you just like are excited to just like run around or do, you know, do movement just because it's like you said, it's playful. It's healthy in like the most holistic way. It's just like feeding your soul and not like serving the one purpose of looking a certain way. And I really would love to just return to that place that's like more innocent and playful.
Yeah. And it's going to happen for you. Like you've done the work to get you to here. It will. It absolutely will. And for anyone listening, it's like, as long as you're prioritizing listening to those hunger cues and not trying, like the hunger cues are such a big part. Because how do you feel about hunger cues at the moment? Do you feel like you're pretty, like, you know, when you're hungry and you know when you're full, or are you still trying to work that out?
I think I'm pretty attuned to that. I think what I struggled with in the more like the beginning of recovery was I would get really scared because I would sense I'm hungry. So I'm eating, and it would just be like, there's no end. Like, I'm just going to keep eating. Mm-hmm. And that's probably pretty common, right? In the early stages of recovery, but I just like hated that feeling of feeling like, well, I can like measure off a portion of chips or like whatever food I was trying to eat, but then I would just keep going back for more. And it felt like a binge, or it felt like I just had no control. But my theory is that like, you have to go through that almost and get to the other side of it. Maybe not everyone is like this, but like, for me, I felt like I just had to experience that and just like totally do like a free fall, like a trust fall, and be like, you are undernourished. You just eat, and then like slowly it kind of comes back to you of like, oh, okay, you're full. Or like, maybe you overdo it a couple times and then you learn like, oh, this makes me uncomfortably full. Like, now I know to stop sooner. And there's a lot of grace that you have to give yourself, I think, to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful way of describing it, because like in my personal experience and that with clients, it absolutely is that trial. And I say error very loosely. Yeah. Error as in, like, as you said, like, whoa, that I'm actually a little bit uncomfortably full. I got a little hint of something, you know, four bites ago. Next time I'll pay attention to that. But also knowing that nothing bad happened if you are uncomfortably full. Like, it just means that you need to wait a little bit longer to digest. And, you know, tomorrow the sun's still going to come up and you're still going to have a good day and like everything's okay. But you need to kind of experience it to trust that it's going to be okay. And as you might have witnessed too, the more your weight started to restore, the more those never going to end eating moments would have started to decrease, because your weight is slowly getting to where it needs to be. So your body doesn't have that huge hunger cue because it doesn't need it. It's like, oh no, she feeds me regularly. You know, I've got enough to function. I don't need to nag at her anymore. We're good. And a lot of trust comes from being like, oh wow, okay, I might see changes in my body, but I'm really enjoying being able to eat something I normally feel out of control with. And now I can just eat it and I just stop whenever I feel like it. And the serving size varies. And I like that it varies. Like there's no set, it has to be a small portion. I have to finish the whole lot. It just depends on the day. And that feels really good. Did you experience that too?
Yeah, definitely. I actually heard, you know, other women recount this and say like, it does get better. It does get better. You start to feel like you're not binging every time you're eating. But I really didn't believe that would happen to me for the longest time. And I think that was probably one of the biggest barriers to like just starting the recovery process. Because I was so comfortable in like my safe foods and what I was eating, like literally the same thing every day, like very, very structured. And like to step outside of that box, it was like, I'm going to binge on like anything. Like it could be like something that's not even good. Like it could just be like regular bread or something. Like I was just so scared to feel that discomfort and then not knowing when it would kind of even out, but it happened. Like I feel so much better knowing that there are days when I'm more hungry and days when I'm less hungry. And at the end of the day, it all comes out in the wash. Like your body just kind of regulates itself. And also too, like knowing that when you do, like you said, you do overdo it sometimes and it's like, that's okay. Like you just, maybe it's a special holiday meal or maybe it's no special occasion at all. You're just like with your best friend and you guys like eat way too much. And it's like, the sun still comes up the next day.
Yeah. And even the, like, I think of, for me, as foods like oats or rice, when you think you're full, but they kind of swell in your stomach. And then 20 minutes later, you're like, oh my goodness, it's growing.
Yeah.
I remember the first few times that happened to me, I was like, oh my goodness. Cause like, I never allowed myself to feel full and I never had enough in my belly to actually feel it change over time. And then when it did happen, I sort of panicked and it's like the same thing. It's like, oh, it is what it is. It's okay. Like the time will pass, the digestion will occur. Everything's going to be all right. Do you want to maybe describe what your exercise and training, because some of your exercise was just like fun. Cause I know you like going outside and as you said, playing sports and walking the dog. And it wasn't all just like hardcore gym training. You had a nice balance of both, but it just was too much for the nutrition you were giving yourself. What was, I guess, your movement like through the midst of HA and perhaps when we first connected and had our first session versus where you ended up when you got your period back?
Yeah, big changes. When I first reached out to you, I had already started reducing my training. I used to go like 6 days a week, maybe 5 days a week sometimes, like to the gym doing strength training. And then in addition to that, I was walking a lot, like 20,000 steps, like just a lot of walking. And not all of that was like for pleasure. Like some of that was definitely like feeling guilty for what I ate or whatever. So, when I reached out to you, I had reduced down to 3 days a week. And that was like, when I first did that, it was like ripping a Band-Aid off. It felt like so like anxiety inducing because it was just like my whole life was about training, not literally, but just the structure of like my day to day. And to have that free time was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. And then I was still training pretty hard in terms of like the lifts that I was doing. And I was still keeping like, I think I had like an upper body day and two lower body days or something. And then probably in like the fall, I made the decision to just only do walking. And then actually at just before Thanksgiving, so that for us end of November, I started going back to the gym, but I only was going twice a week with my husband as my like accountability partner, because he will only go for like 30 minutes. He will not spend another minute longer than he needs to in the gym. So he would like come and get me. And what I was doing was like, I would walk on the treadmill. I would like do some light stretching and do some like very light, like dumbbell work. And then we would leave. And that was just two times a week. And then shortly after that, I like was purposefully implementing that to see like, oh, maybe will this like make me feel better, or like will this help me in any way? And then I got COVID in December and I did nothing. I did not move. And my period came. So I don't know what the correlation is there, but like my point is that I wasn't sedentary by any means in my recovery. But the hardest thing for me was just reducing like that period of time where I was only allowing myself to walk and not allowing myself to strength train. That was really, really hard for me. And I know some women have said like they strength trained through their recovery and it like, it was fine for them and it worked for them. But I think for me, even more than just like the intensity of the workouts I was doing, I just needed to like separate myself from that space, because I like was associating that gym and that space with like my old self. And I would like work out in front of all these mirrors. And like, again, there's nothing wrong with like working out in front of mirrors, but like, I just knew like what my triggers were going to be. And I thought like, if I'm going to stick to this, like recovery all the way to the end, I can't like go back to that place that like, for me was like my safe haven for like a lot of my disordered behaviors. And that's not to say in the future, I won't ever like be doing barbell work again, or going back to like the heavy lifts that I used to enjoy so much. But I think I needed intentional time away from that to just like say, okay, we're gonna dial it way back. And then eventually in the future, like when I've had three regular periods, I can slowly start to reintroduce that again.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And it's something that comes up so much with a lot more of the like fitness enthusiast clients that I work with, right? Because it's that idea of there's some part where you can go, all right, there's exercise compulsion, like I can't not go. But there also is a part where for some of us, it's in our character. Like we just love movement. We love to be outside, or we love to exert ourselves, but not in a way that's we're trying to harm our body. It feels like part of us. And some women can really relate to that. And others like, no, mine's all compulsion. Like it's just, I'm so hooked on it that I can't not go. And that's where everyone's recoveries are so unique. But I think because a lot of the listeners like yourself, they know that that's kind of my journey. Hey, it's like, I just love movement. Yeah. There was definitely the compulsive addictive side, but either way, I still really like it. And it's always going to be in my life. But that conversation around the movement that you do to get your period back isn't your forever after movement. Like it's a short-term sacrifice for an incredibly long-term reward. And it's so difficult to accept it. And some parts ego, because I think we all want to be the one who can recover while training because we love it. And like, I get it, but the freedom and the liberation and the success that comes from being like, you know what, just for 2 weeks, for 4 weeks, for 6 weeks, I'm just going to step away from the gym. And for so many, the period happens. For so many, it's crazy. And also knowing that, oh, wow, I can survive without going to the gym for a couple of weeks. And I don't want anyone listening to think I'm demonizing exercise. I love exercise. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I want everyone to be able to do it. This is not a like leave the gym and never go back. But as in it's, and you'll be able to relate to this in hindsight, it's so much easier to look back and go, oh my God, why didn't I just take a break? Like I could have saved myself so much turmoil if I had have stopped trying to prove the science wrong and just surrender and be like, okay, my plan is to get my period back. Here is the best way to do it. I'm just going to do it. But it's like impossible in the moment. Well, hopefully those listening to this right now is like, I'm going to skip the turmoil. I'm just going
to take the straight and narrow. Yeah.
But did you see, like, you know, the bleed happened? We'll talk about that very soon. But in hindsight, do you feel that way? Like, oh, if I hadn't have just resisted this idea of stopping training. And like you said, you were still walking. Were you doing yoga and Pilates?
No, I was not. I was only walking. And even at the beginning, I was walking too much. It was so hard to let go of that habit. And again, like, I was walking with my dog. I was like being out on hikes and stuff. I thought that was still like fun for me, but there was still just this like residual, like nagging, like, oh, if you haven't moved today, like it's all over for you. And so I'm saying that just because I want anyone who's listening, who's like struggling, to know that it's such a balancing act, but like, if you just like slowly titrate down, even if it's like really painful for you, whatever pace you need to go at, like it's still totally possible, because I didn't go to the gym, but I was still walking a lot. And then I slowly like took down my walks, and that was something that was stress relief for me and enjoyment for me. And I still had to work to like reduce that. And if I had done that even sooner, what would my timeline would have looked like? I wonder, you know, like, would it have taken me a month or two less? I would like to think probably yes, but I don't know. I don't know for certain, but it sure shows up in a lot of women's sort of recovery timelines. And like you said, you know, sometimes it's just even like a month or so of not going to the gym could make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for sharing with the attachment to walking as well, because, you know, walking's so, you know, encouraged and praised in HR recovery, but there still is walking for health and then walking for compensation, for food, for being sedentary, for not going to the gym. Essentially, if you've got that rule of you must hit X amount of steps, it's something to be reviewed.
Totally.
Let's skip to the fun stuff. Tell us about the day you got your period.
Okay. So I was sick with COVID. I got sick and I was down for the count day one of COVID. I hardly moved. I had a horrible sore throat and all the like nasty COVID symptoms. Day two of being sick, I went to the bathroom and I noticed some blood and I thought, like, am I going crazy? Am I like something is very wrong with the COVID situation. I don't know. I like came out of the bathroom crying and my husband came in from the other room and he was like nursing me back to health. So he was like, what's going on? What's wrong? And I'm like sobbing. And I said, I got my period. I went back into the bathroom to triple check that the blood was still there. And it was, and it was like, gosh, it was like the most beautiful combination of emotions. Like, I was just beside myself. I kept thinking it wasn't ever going to happen to me. I was just listening to so many podcasts of women who had gotten theirs back, and I was hoping and hoping. And I remember I had a call, I think at the end of November, I had another call with you to just like talk about how I was feeling. I was feeling discouraged. I was feeling like I was at my normal weight or my like set point weight and even potentially above it, and nothing was happening. I was like so frustrated by that. And it just came. I just had to be a little patient and just wait a little longer and keep doing what I was doing and resting. And it was incredible.
Yeah. I get goosebumps hearing that period recovery day, and especially your husband nursing you to health, being like, what's going on? Are we happy? Are we sad? Are we
I'm sure
like period wouldn't have been the first on his mind when you're like so sick with COVID.
yeah. And I also forgot to share his response was so sweet. He said something like, I feel like you just told me that I'm going to be a dad or something like that, because we want to have a family really badly. And so he was like, his mind was immediately there, and that just made it that much more like emotional and powerful. So it was really awesome.
That's so beautiful. I've got more goosebumps because it's such a sincere remark. And I can't help but think how, you know, throughout this whole process, so many of us feel like we're going to lose friends, or people aren't going to like us, or our relationship dynamics are going to change. And it's not often we think about what our recovery brings to our friends and family. Like, you know, your husband's response is, you've made it like available to me, I'm going to be a dad, right? So it's nothing even close to a relationship change, a weight gain thing, a judgment. It's like you unlocked a new area of his life through your healing.
And yeah, that's so true.
And we don't look at it from that perspective. And yet it's so beautiful, because for a lot of us, we don't feel worthy enough to recover or to heal, right? Like finding your why, it's a bit shallow, because it's like, oh yeah, I should do it for me. But you kind of say it because it sounds like the appropriate thing to say, but you don't really feel it. But if you were to bring in the idea of, well, how's my husband going to feel if I recover? How am I going to feel holding a baby in my arms if your goal's a baby? How's mom and dad going to feel when I actually show up for pizza and eat pizza? Like, much value does everyone around me get from choosing to recover?
Yeah, I think I am a better person now that I'm recovered. Like so many people listening to this, I'm sure, can relate, but like, I used to be so irritable. Like if I didn't make my gym session that I planned out, or if I didn't get in all my steps for the day, or if I didn't like get to look at the menu ahead of time at the restaurant we were going to with family, and I didn't find like the lowest calorie option. Like there's just so many ways that I am like more relaxed and content and at peace with things. And I can go with the flow. I can eat something spontaneously and not like freak out that it's not in my fitting my macros or whatever. Like it just opens up. Like I feel more like myself. I feel more like Kristen because I'm just like more relaxed and I can participate in things. And it's hard because if you are very into fitness, like that is part of your identity. But I think in order to get to like the root of that, like the innocent part that's like not related to how your body looks or any sort of controlling mechanism, it's really helpful to just picture yourself as like more relaxed and willing to like change your plans, and it's not going to just derail your mood. And those people around you are like, yeah, this person is a joy to be around. And they're just like, they're not so uptight and holding everything like with a clenched fist.
Yeah. And it's like, by removing the rules, you create space to show up as you. Because yes. That's what's so exhausting about the rules. It's like you're trying so hard to do everything perfect that it's so easy to get derailed because you just want perfection all the time. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of remove perfection and just go for literally life, like how can I make every experience as good as possible? Not everyone's going to be great, but most of them can be. It changes the whole dynamic and what you're striving for. And like you said, how much nicer is it to go for dinner and let's say you haven't seen the menu and you don't care versus being already in a crummy mood because maybe they randomly change restaurants and you'd already researched the other one, and then you can't have a good time because you're so like, even if there's a good option there for you, you're so pissy that they change their mind that you can't relax and enjoy it because you're just so tense. And there's so many beautiful moments that come in from this process that will be with you forever now. Like how many more dinners are you going to enjoy? How many more times are you going to laugh because you're not so uptight, or you know, stay the full duration of an event because you don't have to set a super early alarm clock or squeeze in that last gym session. Like you can actually slow down and enjoy.
Yeah. That's another huge one actually, is like, I'm learning to sleep in more.
And it's like
incredible. There's nothing wrong with like being a morning person. I still think I'm pretty much a morning person, but like I would get up, you know, 5:30, hitting the gym at 6 before work, because like, it's better to get it in before, you know, God forbid the plans change after work and you can't go after work. So like, there's just like, I could go on and on about this subject, I feel, but like, there's so many good, just like breaking the chains moments in recovering in this aspect, because if you like fitness, like it should be fun. It should not be like torturing yourself at 6 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you said, it's breaking the chains though, because once you've broken them, the perspective is so different and so easy to see how things were versus how things are. But when you're in it, it's like you're so addicted to the rules, the rigidity, the routine, that you won't allow any other option in, which is all part of that healing process. I do, because that call we had in late November, a big part of that, you're feeling discouraged because you had honestly left every stone left unturned and you're like, it's not here. Maybe it's never going to happen for me. And a big part of that conversation was, it's not often I chat with women and say, have you left every stone left? Is every stone left unturned? And they go, yes, because for you, that's what it was. You were eating appropriately. You were reduced down to walking, you're taking on social events, you were moderating your stress, you were sleeping. And when I said, are you sure there's nothing, like not even one little thing? You're like, I've done it. Like it's all done. And it was literally like, well, it's coming. It's absolutely coming. How did you cope with knowing that you had done, because that's the thing, guys, sincerely, at this point, Kristen had done everything. It wasn't like, maybe I'm still doing 20,000 steps, or maybe I'm doing a sneaky HIIT session every now and then. Like, she literally was doing all the things and relatively calm about it, given how long you'd been in HR recovery, right? Because it's like, I've done it for 2 days versus, no, I've been doing it for about a month now. Like, what's going on? Yeah. What kept you on, like, what thoughts sort of kept you going, all right, I just need to keep faith. I just need to believe in the process.
Yeah, that was hard. Well, talking to you for one was really encouraging, and obviously willing to sing your praises about just being encouraging and like being a resource, and all your experience with like seeing this happen with other women. Like, we always want to compare ourselves and see like, well, it took Sally how many months and she was doing how many steps and how many calories. Like, I just needed to stop with all that. And I just needed to be like, Jade said, it's coming. I'm doing all that I can. And like, I was clinging to that you told me it's coming, but also to like my deeper reason was, like I mentioned, we want to start trying to conceive, we want to have a family. And in my mind, there was nothing else that could be done except wait. And by this point too, I had already kind of started to feel a shift in like my identity. I didn't really identify as much anymore with that fitness fanatic, that girl who counted her macros all the time religiously. Like, I just felt like I was getting further and further away. And that helped me to like shift my identity a little bit and feel like I was going in the right direction. So that's not a clear answer, but like, it's really hard to be doing what you think is like all the right steps and you're not seeing anything. But I spoke with you and that was encouraging. And I think too, in my mind, I kind of had this thought of like, I'm going to push really hard through like the end of 2022 on this recovery thing. And then I was in my mind kind of giving myself a little deadline of like, well, if you don't have your period back in like January, then maybe it's time to go back to the doctor and see if there's anything else that can be done in terms of like tests. Mm-hmm. But even thinking that, I think I knew in my head that I knew I had HA and I knew what the solution was, but I just needed like a little timeline in my head to be like, try, like just push to the end of the year. Yeah. So that's not a very straightforward answer.
No, it was beautiful because you covered so many angles. It was like the perseverance come at a time where your identity shift had occurred. So you could persevere for longer because you weren't running against this fit identity. It wasn't like every day you're waking up, I'm not showing up who I'm meant to be. At this point, you're like, I'm showing up as the person I need to be to get what I desire. All right. So that worked in your favor. And then the conversations we had, you felt confidence from the conversation that we had, which obviously helps. And then that timeline is also a sense of security too, because it's like, well, if something isn't happening at the time that I want it, I've got another option. Right. So it makes sense that you would have had that timeline, because it's just like a cuddle. It's like, oh, it's okay. There's still something else. Like, we can still even though it sounds like secretly you knew things were going to happen, it's just like, it's a weird like conundrum, isn't it? It's like, you don't want to have too much faith in it happening in case it doesn't, but you don't want to not have faith because, you know, the whole like mind follows the body and body follows the mind. It's like, if I don't believe it, it's not going to happen. But you described it so beautifully. Now, you saw both Claudia and myself. I wonder if there is any, you know, sometimes when you have conversations with people or you learn new things, there's certain elements that have like just a grasp. It could be a quote, it could be a word, it could be a piece of education, anything at all. Was there something stand out that Claudia, myself, both of us said that really like you held on tight to it, it resonated with you, or it was just incredibly informative that you had no idea about?
I would say something that I spoke with Claudia about pretty early on in the beginning was the importance of fats in my diet. And this is something that, you know, I'm like a child of the 90s. I'm just the low fat, no fat is, I know in my head, I know that fat does not make you fat, but I was just gravitating towards like anything lower in fat, no fat. I was really scared to cook with anything that wasn't like a spray, like an oil spray or something, scared of butter, scared of a lot of fats. And, fats are so important for having a healthy menstrual cycle and having like sex hormones, having hormones in general, I believe. But I think that that was really difficult to overcome, and I'm still working on that, but I think that, that was something Claudia kind of helped talk me through, was that fats are not the enemy and you need this. It's a good and like easy way, relatively palatable way to get down more calories in a meal. Especially if you're at the beginning of recovery and you just kind of feel like bloated and gross, cause you're like trying to eat more and your body's not used to it. So things like avocado toast, or, you know, even just like eggs, like with, on a sandwich with butter or something like that. That was like a big fear food for me that I had to get over. And, I think I knew intuitively that I was excluding fats, but I needed the push and I needed to be held accountable. And I know we did like a food diary, and also, I would send Claudia some pictures occasionally of like what I was eating. And she would say like, oh, well, can you add more fats to this? Or, you know, the conversations like that, even super brief conversations were helpful to keep me on track.
Awesome. And then I was just gonna say the fats is so common. It's like I said, a kid of the 90s, it really was kind of brainwashed into us, wasn't it? It's like, fats are horrible. And obviously the calories per gram plays a big part, especially when you've been on the MyFitPal app. So even though you said, you know, which you're still actively working on it, it's just that awareness around that, you know, not everything changes overnight or changes in 2 months, 6 months. It's like you absolutely are making better decisions around incorporating fats into your diet, but you can still see you're not in the place you want to be just yet, but you will be.
Yeah, definitely. And then I was just going to add about yourself and kind of the big takeaway that I have from you is just you have always been so like compassionate in your approach. And even in our sessions, you were never like, I don't know, you were always asking questions and sort of prompting me instead of like telling me what to do, I guess. And I really appreciated your compassionate approach to like more of like a curiosity, like, oh, why does this make you feel this way? Or why do you think you gravitate towards this habit? And that I think was kind of the key to like starting to show compassion to myself, because it was really like a really effective way to be gentle and not judging or criticizing. And I think that's really the only way that you can unlock that mindset shift, is to just have like so much compassion for yourself.
Thank you. That's really sweet. And I I'm short for words because I really, really appreciate that with my whole heart. You know, that's always the idea behind the mindset coaching. It's like, I never want to boss any, oh, actually not, I never want to, I never will boss anyone into anything. It's very much just showing you how to understand your own thoughts more so you can make different ones. But I'm so happy that you felt so comfortable and comforted by those questions, and that they, you know, provided more support for you outside of sessions to, you know, use that and continue to move forward. Because I mean, look where you are now. Got your period, you're living a happy, healthy life, you know, perhaps babies this year. You're going to be an inspiration to so many women that are listening to the podcast as well. And it's a complete shift from when you first started listening to the podcast. I mean, my goodness, you're the person you were once listening to. How cool is that?
I know, it's wild. It's wild. I hope some women out there who are binge listening to this, happen upon this episode and others and really feel compelled to reach out or, you know, just start, because I think even before I contacted you, I was trying to start, but I think just having someone to be accountable to, is like so crucial, because I could tell, you know, my mom or my husband, they're like, oh, I'm trying to gain weight to be healthy or whatever. And they don't understand the unique struggles of overcoming habits and changing your mindset. And so in you and Claudia and the community, I think I found like people who understood me, and you can see clear examples of people who've recovered. And it's like, this is possible. This is so worth it.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your incredible journey and just insights into the whole process. And I especially love the timing of podcasts when they happen very soon after that first bleed or the first three, because you're still so in tune with like the struggles as well as the leaps and bounds forward, as well as the joy of it actually happening. And I think that's so powerful for listeners, because it's like they can sense how close you are to that struggle, like you're out of it, but you still remember it really clear. And also, you know, how good it is to actually go to the bathroom and you'll see exactly what you want to see and everything's been worthwhile, and the shift in perspective. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on and just share it all with us. I'm sure the women listening are going to absolutely love it. I personally have loved it. My cheeks feel sore because I just keep smiling at you. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need a break, but I've loved every moment of it. But thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to leave your links in the notes in case anyone wants to reach out and have a chat. But until then, bye for now.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for joining in on today's episode. I hope you loved it. Please subscribe to the podcast to stay up to date with all future episodes. And if you are interested in coaching, whether it be groups or one-on-one, please send me a DM or an email and we can have a bit of a chat about where you are now and where you want to be. I can't wait to speak to you soon. Bye-bye.